Today we celebrate this feast of the exaltation of the cross on September 14th, and this date commemorates the dedication of the holy sites in Jerusalem, specifically the where Jesus was crucified, is buried, and of course, from the tomb he resurrected. And these holy sites, there was a chapel built by Constantine in the 4th century, but also commemorates the date or the time of the discovery of the true cross by by Constantine's mother, St. Helena. When my nephew Benjamin was about 3 or 5 years old, he would go to my grandma or his grandma and grandpa's house, my mom and dad's house, he would inevitably go around looking for some kind of cross, and he would find one. Of course, there were many in my mom and dad's house, and he would start going around the house, and we would start singing, "Lift High the Cross, Lift High the Cross," and he would go in procession all around the house. We'd follow him all around, and it was really quite cute. But of course, he got this from going to church. Because every time that we have our entrance procession, you know, in church, we always go before the cross. And of course, when we exit from the church and we recess from our celebration, we always go behind the cross. And I think this feast, being in a way Christ, the cross being in a sense Christ's trophy, his triumph and his glory, can tell us something about the meaning about that entrance and recessional procession with the cross. We lift high the cross of Christ. The meaning of this triumphal procession, we might say, could be twofold. The first is that when we come to worship God, when we come to worship him in spirit and truth, we process with the cross before us as a way of showing the Lord that we clearly believe and that we understand that it is only through the cross that we have the dignity and the ability to come to worship him. When it says we bring it before the Lord and say, "Look what your son has done for us," and so we sort of glory and triumph in this trophy as we present it to the Lord in thanksgiving for what he has done for us. In this way, we can appreciate what St. Paul says. He says, "May I boast of nothing except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for through him the world has been crucified to me, and I have been crucified to the world." So like it's saying, like, "Lord, see how my life has been configured to your son's perfect sacrifice." And so we go before the cross as his trophy. You ever see a lot in many pictures, for instance, of Michelangelo's picture of the Last Judgment. There's Christ with that very powerful right arm of judgment, but right next to him is his cross. To say, it is through this is my instrument of triumph that I come to judge the world, and to judge it in truth. The second meaning, of course, is when we recess with the cross, it reminds us that we go out into the world with the cross before us, to keep this as our model, to keep that model in our hearts, in order to reveal to the world that this is the truly greatest achievement that we can accomplish in our life, is to be conformed to the image of his son, as St. Paul in that second reading says, before he humbled himself, being obedient even to death on a cross. And it's because of that obedience, because of his sacrifice, that Christ is greatly exalted. So in a particular way, we celebrate the cross, a little bit different from Good Friday, as Christ's trophy, his triumph and his glory. If you who like hockey, you know, the Stanley Cup, you know, when somebody wins the Stanley Cup, there's an enormous cup, and all the players, of course, are holding it, they're going around, you know, basically showing, look at what we've accomplished, and they have the opportunity to drink from that big cup. That in some way, if we think of that for us as Christians, is the cross. So may our only boast be in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for through him we have been crucified to the world, and the world has been crucified